Diego, I want to welcome you. You are from the UN. You are working with geodata, and you have a great interest in OpenStreetMap. So I'm very excited about your talk. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Lara, Christine, Walter. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And special thanks also to Sara for making it possible, to all the OSM Foundation, to the organizers, and especially thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak here. So yes, my name is Diego Gonzalez, and I am the chief of the Solutions and Support Unit, which means nothing. And I am also the coordinator of the UN Maps initiative or program. And I work at the United Nations Global Service Center, which is an office that is both in Spain and Italy. And basically what we do is to provide services to all the different peacekeeping missions, political missions in the field, and even beyond, no, to the different UN entities at large. And specifically, what we do within our team is to provide innovative geospatial solutions. This could be web applications or mobile applications, everything with the idea to support the peace in the world. So let me give you a little bit of a background, where everything started. Back, actually, let me even go earlier on. I worked here in Nairobi for about 4 years, but that was back in 2013 to 2016-17. The way we were operating, working with data specifically and with the creation of the maps, was we would give a map package to a consultant with a medium resolution satellite imagery and with the software, the data sets, and they would have to digitize everything. So do the feature extraction, basically the mapping, following like a very tedious and lengthy process with the MGCP, which is another military standard for the production of topographic maps, the 50K, 1:50,000 topographic maps. This worked well. We were providing maps to different field missions. The problem is that once we did all the cartographic production of those maps, they were produced once for one specific product, the 50K topographic map. And do you know what else, apart from that, we did with the data? Nothing. It would stay there in a drawer, and it would never be touched again. And that was really, really unfortunate. It was basically a waste of time and resources. The maps were good, but I think, or we were thinking, that we could do better. So the reason why we used OSM is because we thought that with OSM we could do better. The idea was to use OSM as the repository of the data and do all the mapping on OSM so that we could take a daily differential of the database within our data center, and we would be able to create not just one product, but a wide range of products that I will explain later on. So everything was perfect. Everything combined perfectly. And also, we thought that the goals, the objectives, the vision of OSM aligned very well with our own vision at the UN. We had, from a technical perspective, a very flexible data model that could be used to produce many different outputs, but also we wanted to integrate with the community to have a better understanding of the field and to be able to renew that data and update that data constantly. But we couldn't stay there. Unfortunately, we cannot use OSM just like that in our products. It would be fantastic, but there are certain data within OSM that we cannot use because of the UN. I'm talking specifically about the administrative and international boundaries and the authoritative data related to the spelling of country names or towns, country capitals, etc. So we said OSM is perfect, but let's combine that with our own UN repositories to create a better output. We had many different challenges. Apart from the international boundaries, we said, okay, there could be the possibility also to use other commercial providers, other mapping providers. But obviously, they didn't give us that information that we wanted with regards to the official data from the UN. And forget about trying to get accurate data of remote areas in, for example, Central African Republic or in Somalia. This is a real example of a rural area in Somalia. That's why basically we cannot use commercial providers, obviously, because we cannot work with them to have a better information. So for all those reasons, we wanted to collaborate and to work with OSM and to leverage the potential of OSM. And the last challenge that we had is, apart from the topographic data, is also the operational data. Unfortunately, that's a data that we need to keep within our UN databases, because that's the core of the daily operations. So that we need to maintain that data and merge it and combine it with the rest of the information that we get. So thinking all about that, in 2019, officially, we launched what we call UN Maps, which basically is the best way to support the mandates and the operations of the United Nations from the geospatial perspective. And what do we have under UN Maps? We have different features or services. We have base maps with what we call the street map, taking information, as I said, from OSM and the UN databases, and combining that with our design rules. We have an image map with the high-resolution satellite and drone imagery that we constantly acquire and purchase, and we include it there. We also have the terrain map showing all the Earth surface features, all the physical features with the contour lines, etc. And we have what we call the globe, which is the 3D representation to unearth all those insights and trends and patterns that otherwise wouldn't be visible in a 2D environment. And believe me, for all these products, we are using OSM. And that's why we are extremely grateful for all the community here. The other one that is more on our side on the UN is the operational map. In this case, we have a wide range of layers of information related to the daily operational activities of the UN. So where our blue helmets are, the troops of the peacekeepers, for example, or where the logistics information can be found, where is a remote UN camp located. So we need to keep that information also within the UN databases. We also have another product is the search, and this is the best combination for us from OSM information, points of interest and place names, combining with the UN information. So if we want to find the exact location of a given UN camp, then people will go to UN maps within the UN. And the last one is the direction. In this case, again, we are getting the road network from OSM, and we are merging that information with our supply routes, patrol routes, and our security information on the ground to give that added value. But apart from those services, we also have applications that we have developed on top of OSM data. One of them is the Maps on Demand application. In this way, it's a web application. We are empowering non-geospatial specialists to create their own maps, the curated maps with the pre-configured map templates and the latest data from OSM and from other repositories of different areas of interest. We create now with this application, within a few minutes, topographic maps or urban maps with a great detail and very professional look and feel. The other one is that we have developed and is available in the official app stores is the UN Maps mobile application, in which we are also doing offline routing, which is with the direction that is especially important for our colleagues in the field missions. We are also creating digital twins. In this case, we've been collaborating with the entire community. This is an example of Tripoli, collecting information on the building footprints and also even developing another version of the street complete with the building complete about the heights, the volumes of those buildings, the roof type, etc., so that we can create a realistic mirror or twin of specific areas of interest. So where is, in general, UN Maps used? Is both, actually. In the field, our colleagues in the field in the UN are constantly using it, and also in the office, and it's used for many different purposes. And thanks to you, thanks to your work, we can perform a better work to support peace. We do reporting, we do patrolling, we do water extraction and exploration, we do humanitarian relief and other development. And that's thanks to the entire community. So how is a UN Maps? How does it work? We have four main pillars. On one side, on the people, the community, we have a range of GIS professionals, geospatial professionals, that are working with us. Some of them are mapping, some others are validating data, some others are working with the community, doing outreach, others are working on the databases, the applications, etc. But at the same time, and this is extremely important, and this is also why we are here, we established the UN Mappers community that I'm sure that you have heard of. With us is actually Severin, one of the coordinators of the UN Mappers community. And what we want to do is to approach the entire community to work together. And this is the essence, obviously, of OpenStreetMap. And thanks to all of you guys, we have a better data over the areas of interest where our colleagues are operating in remote locations in Africa and the Middle East and Asia and Latin America, etc. So thanks to UN Mappers and thanks to the entire OSM community, we are able to support peace. And then on the other side, we have two things. We have the state-of-the-art infrastructure that is based at the UNGSE, the Global Service Center in Brindisi and Valencia. With that data center, we have all the different databases. We are purely agnostic when it comes to the technology. Sometimes we use proprietary software, some other times we use open source. We take the best of both worlds. And at the same time, we are combining, as I said, the databases. We are taking data from the UN, authoritative information, operational data, and also OSM and other repositories. So we are really making the best of these two possible worlds to provide better services. And this is how we operate. We work internally with the UN personnel, both the uniformed personnel and civilians, working together with the entire community through the UN mappers. We are using in UN mappers the hot tasking manager also to coordinate activities. Internally, we are doing the professional mapping and validation of the data. And then we combine all that data within our databases and we produce all those services that I explained earlier. And I want to say a few words about UN mappers because it's not about data, it's about the community. It's really about having that sense of trust that we should have to have a better output for everyone. We are, and Severin and Mikael will explain this afternoon during the session that we have, we are doing capacity building, mapathons, different events. We are bringing on board interns to do capacity building and engagement with them. We do activations, obviously, in case there is a pressing issue. And we communicate through social media and our website, themaps.un.org. And one of those important things that within UN Mappers we are doing is the UN Maps Learning Hub. And this is extremely crucial because it's the only one, I would say, that has courses, online courses, that are available to everyone in more than seven languages, all the six official UN languages, and some others like Italian and Portuguese. So what we want really is to engage with as many people as possible and to make things much easier to them. Severin will be able to give you all the details, definitely. We have different courses there for capacity building. We have quizzes. We try to do it in engaging mode to have a better output for everyone. And I have explained what we are taking or why we are taking a OSM data, but I want to say also in return is our contribution, the contribution from UN Maps and from UN Mappers. And this is an example of Kidal in Mali. And look at the difference, how Google Maps in that case was given information. And then we come in as UN Maps and we bring those maps to life. We add all the road network, the hydrography, all the land use, the land cover, points of interest, all the infrastructure in general. And we make a big change for those people working in the field. Another example is in Central African Republic. In another environment. In this case, is the before and after. Once we come in, we add all the information that is relevant for our colleagues, plus the operational data that is extremely important for us. And this is, again, our contribution. There we go. Those are the different funding missions. That's why where we are getting the money from. But look at that, we have populated data over more than 600 map sheets in all those different countries. And we are adding data related to the operations. And we continue growing and growing along with the community. And not only those tangible benefits, but also the more intangible. the sense of community, the capacity building, working even with member states, so to promote OSM for the better humanitarian relief and urban and regional planning and the development. So all that capacity building, all those bringing together, that's what is making the difference for us. And look at the impressive numbers. Over the years, we've had thousands of volunteers from UN mappers, hundreds of mapping events and mapathons. We have collected data for topographic maps, for land use, land cover, hydrography, roads, etc. And this is what is important. And thanks to you, we are making that impact for peace and development. We are working with the field missions to have a better understanding of the ground in the operations and the decision making. Or we are working with special political missions to reduce tensions between the different parties, or working in Colombia to assess the human rights abuses, or working in Somalia or in South Sudan to provide community wells to the local population, or activation of mapping after earthquakes or flooding, or working with UNESCO and the national government in Madagascar, creating the road network over that country so that there is a better planning for schools and for those children that are in need. So that's really the difference that we are all providing here as a community. And this is thanks to you. And I make an appeal, come to us, join us, so that we can continue making the difference. And as we say in UN Maps, mapping the world, supporting peace, and serving humanity. So thank you very much.
Before you go, we got some questions on Venilas, which I also forgot to share about, that I'll share after this.
Yes.
So first question with the most upvotes is, do UN mappers know that they can edit and be part of OpenStreetMap without the UN projects?
Yes. So the idea is with UN mappers is to create data, so to work obviously with OSM data in projects that are related to the UN operations, but we are actually going beyond there. Just to give you a couple of examples, we've been working with the community also in Mogadishu in Somalia. We've been working in other areas in Sri Lanka, or also in the Jammu and Kashmir area between Pakistan and India. So UN mappers is a way to coordinate all the mapping activities, but it really goes beyond what we are doing specifically for the UN operations. It's really for the greater good of the entire community. So I think if I want a message to come across here is that there is a fantastic synergy between the UN and OSM, and that it goes in both directions. We leverage OSM data, and at the same time, we contribute to the entire community to make something bigger together. That's the idea.
All right. I'll ask one more, and then maybe the rest can be answered online. So you shared some exciting map services that you've created from your projects and data. So people are wondering if that's only for internal UN use or they're publicly available.
Thank you, Laura. That's a fantastic question. Some of those services are already available to the public, especially operational data that is related to the peace and security pillar within the UN to promote and really work on the sustainable development goals. There is other information, especially the base maps, that at the moment are only available to all the UN staff. We are working very hard to make it available to everyone, to the entire community, to all the public. The reason why we haven't been able to do this yet is because we are working with our legal office. As you know, the UN is a very conservative organization. They take really good care of the data, making sure that there is no political or diplomatic implications between the different staff members. So there is some data that is used for us within the UN for operational reasons that somehow cannot be exposed outside. So we are trying to disaggregate that and to make sure that there is proper disclaimers so that we can make all these data and services available to everyone. Stay tuned, because hopefully in 2025 we will make it available.
That was it for the questions. The rest will be answered online. They're also pretty interesting ones. So a round of applause for Diego.
Thank you.